So abolition is not just the getting rid of something. It's also the imagining of something else, the building of something else. And so abolition has a long history in this country, the abolition of slavery. Slavery was never really abolished. We could talk about the 13th Amendment. And policing, the court systems, jails and prisons, surveillance, is all in the prison police apparatus. And I believe that that should no longer exist. I think if we have policing, prisons, court, surveillance, in any form or fashion, Black people will always be suffering from it. We will always be bearing the brunt of those agencies. And so the work, I believe, is to abolish and abolish these systems. And then the other part of the work is to build institutions that are really the foundation around transformative justice, community accountability, and a deep desire for Black folks to have our dignity, to be cared for in the ways that we deserve to be cared for. So this time especially, I think we should be calling for abolition. Under 45, it's easy because so much of what he's doing is egregious for us to sort of just to be like, all right, if we just get this, right, if we just get these small reforms, it's easy to sort of feel the hole of grief that we feel collectively because of this regime. But I think in these moments when it's heightened, right, that we should be calling for abolition, that we should be naming it, we should feel unapologetic in naming it, and we should be creating our local movements to mirror what abolition could look like locally. Part of what that looks like, I think, is requesting and demanding that we divest from law enforcement.
KBOO Community Radio is volunteer-powered. We have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, operating soundboards, engineering and computer help, website upkeep, and many, many other things. To become a KBOO volunteer, come to our next monthly volunteer orientation on Tuesday, August 7th at 6 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/volunteer. To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unions segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union, and the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unions. Tonight, I'm joined by my sister in the struggle.
Hi, I am Dr. Audrey Terrell. I am retired staff of the International United Auto Workers out of Detroit, and I'm the current vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Union and the president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Tonight, our guest is Babatunde Azubuike. He is a leader, he's a lead coordinator, organizer, and trainer for Enlace. Welcome, Babatunde.
Thanks for having me.
So tonight, we want to talk about Enlace. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So Enlace is an organization that's about 20 years old, multiracial, multi-sector. We do work around racial justice, gender justice, around criminalization, immigration, as well as the prison divest campaign.
Okay. Yeah. So how long have you been doing this work?
Collectively, like, I guess around 7 years has been about that time.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And you've been in Portland for how long?
I've been in Portland for 1 year, 8 months, and 5 days.
Talk about exact.
I moved here in January, like January 2017. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you find that being here in Portland, that that feeds your passion to be able to work on low worker wage issues and enlightening workers of color on how to get up to be a player as far as the workforce is concerned?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I came from Atlanta to move out here, and you know, labor organizing down there is really hard. You know, it's nice to be in a place that like is like a union town, and people value that. And so, you know, it's been really great and met a lot of really awesome people, and great to see the Burgerville workers doing their thing. So
right. Well, you know, they wouldn't be able to do it if people like you weren't helping them, helping to encourage them, to let them know that they are somebody.
Definitely.
And that it's in their best interest when they get out and work on their own behalf along with unions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of us that's doing that work.
So tell us about the Umoja program.
Definitely. So Umoja was a program that got started last year while I was employed at Portland Jobs with Justice. It was its pilot year. It's a program really dedicated to opening up the minds of young Black folks. A lot of these folks are like first generation immigrant workers themselves, come from low income families and things like that. And we basically train them on organizing skills and campaigning, and teaching them how to be more of an active participant in their community instead of like an innocent bystander.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does a student get into the program?
Basically, the way that it works is every year that we do the program, I'll go out into different high schools and connect with different Black leaders and, you know, do info sessions around what the program is about and kind of like generally see if there's any interest. Also, there's information on Enlace's website about the program. So if I didn't see you at the school, you can follow up there, and the application's on there as well.
Can you give our listeners the website address?
Yep. It is www.enlaceintl.org.
All right.
Yeah.
So how many students are in the class this year?
This year, I think we have about 17 folks. That is including folks who were in the program last year who are returning up the leadership ladder. So they go from participants to being facilitators. And so we've got, at this point, 100% retention of this program, which is great.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we've got 17 youth, some new, some old, who are really coming in and really wanting to learn and, like, you know, pick up the mantle where, like, our ancestors and our elders have been and, like, take on the fight. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I was curious because I work with Black student unions, various high schools. Have you been able to be welcome into these high schools, BSUs, or multicultural organizations to present this program? Because really, bottom line, like you say, your focus or your program is focusing on organizing and opening their minds to these things, especially because we represent unions, but that's jobs.
Right.
So have you been working with any high schools, Black BSUs?
Yeah, particularly David Douglas was really been super, super strong supporter of the program as well. And really, I think this year, you know, talking to the administrator there, we've been talking about like ways to engage the youth, not just for like this program, but also like throughout the year in their BSUs, as well as the folks at Benson have been like super, super really excited to like kind of like dig in. And the conversation that I had with them was really cool, is they're wanting to bring all of the BSUs together from the area and do some big thing. So,
Yeah, I've heard of that. I work with Park Rose BSU the past 3 years, and they brought that to me, to how we can get them together, because they're finally waking up. But you got to bring a program to them,
right?
And so I think your program that you're doing is excellent, and it'd be good if you could spread it out, go to a few more high schools, because they don't really. You got to bring it to them because they're just being there, not doing anything. One of the things that I noticed working with 5 high schools, BSUs, is that during Black History Month, they're allowed to do what they call a Multicultural Day or Black History Month Day.
Right.
And that'd be a good time to get your program in there if you start working with them early. Because I think this would really work good in these BSUs. Because, you know, they got to get on their minds. They got to go to work.
Yeah.
And also the realities of what's going around. So, anyway, I just thought of that as you were saying how you work with those two high schools.
Mm-hmm.
So many more high schools, so.
Yeah, definitely. And another really interesting thing that I think is really cool, too, is a lot of folks, like, that are in the program have heard it through, like, word of mouth. So that means that their peers are talking about it, too, you know, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they talk. That phone, I'm telling you, they do that all day long. So when they're doing something with them, then you could share. But that's sound like a really good program, I tell you. So working with BSU high schools would be really one good avenue. You know, you were talking about David Douglas and Benson. Oh, you might want to step out into the rest of these high schools.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's part of the plan, too. I think that, you know, we're kind of like the program is changing in the ways that we have like new capacities, new funding opportunities. So I think that opens up the scope a lot more to where I think that what I would like to see in 2020, 2021 is this program is completely sustainable with like funding and the youth are the ones running it. You know, we're just on the advisory board to help them out. You know, so definitely.
So you say you have some graduates from the program last year who have come back. What kind of changes are you seeing them having graduated from the program last year?
Yeah, I think definitely what I've noticed significantly is just a little bit more like awareness and more attention paid to like the politics of things that are happening right now. You know, it's like really easy to just get rooted in like, okay, this is high school. This is all I got to do. I don't have to really worry about anything else. But, you know, a lot of these folks, they're like working now. So they're thinking about like, what are my rights in the workplace? You know, what are my rights as a student? You know, I don't have to be treated this way walking down the hall. And so I've seen more awareness. And I think, too, they're taking it and recognizing like certain issues and things that are popping up in their lives that they formerly thought that, you know, were just the way things were. They actually are like, we can change this, which is great to me. That's like really why I do this is like, you know, so I can see like the process happening, you know, and really just to be there and kind of like give them the information and like push them to like step outside of their boundaries, you know. What I think is one of the most exciting things is one of the folks who is a facilitator from the program. Actually, afterwards, we did, you know, the labor stuff. We had BV. Burgerville Workers Union come in and talk to them, and then that person went on to go become a SALT, you know?
Okay.
So
what's a SALT?
Basically, somebody who goes in to organize. It gets a job with the intention to organize, you know? So, that's been really cool, and I think that seeing folks taking up fights in different arenas, not just with the Moja, you know, with, like, housing justice, gender justice, things like that, they're recognizing there are all these different avenues to organize around, and they're, like, jumping on that. You know?
Well, this is really good. I know I had the opportunity of addressing your class and looking at it from the point of view of contributions blacks have made as far as the labor movement has been concerned. And I think they were very surprised to see that civil rights issues or worker rights issues, even more so today. I mean, here it is 50 years later, and we are still struggling. And so it was nice to be able to converse with them about what's happening today and what Dr. King was working on at the time of his death. And so I do have to give it up to you for your ability to guide them but not micromanage them. And so I was truly, truly impressed.
I have a question. And, did you notice, because these youth that you are mentoring, they're like 16, 17, 18, I'm sure, about that age group.
14, too.
Yeah.
14 years.
But see, we are in a very strange political climate right now with a lot of things going on because of the leadership that we have, we find ourselves in. And I could see how the role, you bring that awareness to them and how important, not only getting jobs, but the importance of voting. The importance of how these legislations affect you now and in the future. So the question to you, did you see how they, because they'll be 18, they can vote within a year or so and know who to vote for and who to still, you know, who to support and those kind of things. So I can see how this program, so did you see how this would be advantageous to the youth as they grow older, you know, year after year. Did you hear any comments from them, especially about these current affairs, you know, with the immigration rights and things that's been said about various negative things said about Black America and stuff like that? I can see, because academically in the institution of higher learning, where are they talking about that to them?
Mm-hmm.
In English, in history class, whatever. The realities, you know. So I can see how this particular program can open the door for conversation.
Yeah.
A real conversation
on
you guys going to be in a position of voting in the next year or two, and you need to look around you because what they're voting on affects you.
Yeah.
One-on-one. So I can see how this program. So when you were having your program, especially the one you just had and you spoke at, did you hear anything of, did they question or the youth, what did they say about realities, you know, what we see every day?
Oh, my gosh. A lot of really sad things, to be quite honest. You know, hearing about, like, the microaggressions that they face every day, walking through the street, riding on transit, you know, getting to work, at work, at home, you know, all the different things, you know. And I think the onus really falls on us as, like, community leaders and folks doing this work to kind of, like, have those conversations and create the space for those conversations, because one of the biggest things that I hear from people who go through Emoja is that, like, I don't ever have a space to just talk, you know, about things that affect me as a Black person with people who are going to hear me, you know. And that's really, really, really significant, you know, creating a space where they can be heard and all of those things. You know, I took four of the youth to City Hall with me when there was the vote about the Portland the police budget and all of that stuff. It was the first time they'd ever been to City Hall here, you know, and they've been living here their whole lives, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know. So it's like the work that we're doing is really significant, and really, I think they see it. They hesitate for a minute. They're like, okay. This means this, this means that. And it's like, okay, now I've got some more knowledge. I've got some more tools to be able to change the way that things actually are.
I think your program would be great. And, and I work with, through my institute, work with a lot of high school students. And we go to various places that's common to me, but they've never been there.
Yeah.
They don't even know the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony.
Wow.
You know, and you got to say, what? You know, well, if I get in trouble and I get a felony, well, what? That's so much when you get a felony. So I'm saying these kind of programs is what we need with our youth and even through the faith-based.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was in a meeting with the police this past Friday, and they brought to our attention about the Lord's Center, all the various things that's happening in the Lord's Center that's threatening. They can't get any new businesses to come in because of all the criminal activities, the fighting, and other things that's going on. So the manager was explaining to us to help in some way. So I thought about your program, how you could take that arena and then talk to the kids, expose, okay, when you go to the Lord's Center or whatever, you know, and that's where they hang out at.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a soccer granny. You know, I'm dropping them off all the time and picking them up when they close. And so there's got to be an avenue somewhere. And I think your program would be great in these high school, in these faith-based institutions to talk to them about behavioral skills, conduct, all of that. And anyway, and I just thought of that as you were saying, because the manager of the Lord's Center was just saying how it doesn't look good. It's always issues, issues, issues from stealing and stuff like that. And the conduct of youth in that. So so anyway, your program can be, it could go so, especially dealing with youth, with our youth. So do you see a need? Is there some way that need can be filled also?
Yeah, I think definitely there's a way to fill that. I think what is most important to me is just making sure that I'm empowering the youth to be able to go out and have those conversations. You know, I think that what's easiest is for them not to have somebody who's 30 telling them this, that, or the other.
Because
when I was at it, I'm like, psh, get out of my face.
Yeah.
You know, but it really giving them the skills to be able to, like, you're a facilitator, you're a leader, you are a teacher, you are an educator on your own experience and the Black experience. You know?
So for our listeners who've just joined the program, you are listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week, And our guest is Babatunde Azubuki. He is a lead organizer and trainer with Enlace and also the facilitator of the Umoja program. And so what I hear you saying is part of the training that you're presenting to the participants in the Umoja program involves critical thinking.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you find, and you we talked earlier about you had previous graduates who came back, mm-hmm. and do you see them connecting the dots and talking to the new students about how to apply critical thinking?
Oh, yeah. What I've seen, you know, the opportunities that I've created within the program is a lot for me to step back. Mm-hmm. And that role, I'm like, I'll phase back.
Sure.
And let these youth facilitators, you know, come up and talk and, like, help connect the dots. And they listen. Mm-hmm. The youth listen to them. You know, mm-hmm. they've got that respect with them. And, like, we've gone to your high schools. We take the same trains you do.
Sure.
We work those same, like, minimum wage jobs you do,
right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right.
So yeah, I've definitely seen that. And really, like, you know, I'm mentoring them, but they're mentoring each other as well, which
sweet.
I think is really beautiful.
And I think in the long run, no offense to anyone in the room, mm-hmm. I think it's a better way of learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because again, if you have someone who is maybe a year or two older than you,
mm-hmm.
who's,
yeah.
You know, they're using more tangible examples
mm-hmm.
of the message that you're trying to get out to them.
I just want to highlight too, and I know it makes a difference. You look more like them. If I'm trying to, you know, mentor them or guide them, I'm so much older.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look like them, you know, and you can they're more apt to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
And then you know what direction. So I just want to say that's a positive to your. to you that you look like them. You know, you can mix in with them and they all feel equal and not anybody like a granny like me that would be look like here come granny again. So it does make a difference, that the physical presence. So
I asked you earlier about the program last year and the program this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now the program's almost over. Okay.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Don't remind me. Yeah.
So what changes did you make from last year to this year?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest changes that we made from last year to this year, last year, because it was a pilot program, it was my first time, you know, just moving to Portland, I did everything on my own.
Uh-huh.
And that was exhausting.
Yeah.
It was a lot, you know, and it was great, it was cool, but it was a lot, you know. And I think this year what was really important to me is to also partner with other Black-led organizations, so it's not just me, so partnering
right.
with CBTU, Sankofa Collective, and really bringing in like a full range of perspectives around of the Black experience,
sure.
you know, which I think really helped to contribute to the space, you know, as we talk about and have conversations around like sexuality, gender, labor rights, workers' rights, things like that.
Sure.
People are getting the full scope of like the Black identity, you know,
okay.
we are workers, we are partners, we are mothers, we are siblings, we
sure.
are everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I think that was the most significant change. I think in addition to that is adding in more mentorship capacity. Because mm-hmm. like I said, last year I was doing everything. So I've been mentoring these same 8 youth all year since last year.
Sure.
You know, which has been exhausting
uh-huh.
as well.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. So I think bringing in other mentors as well as like folks from who are like elders in the community, folks like who are like 40, 50, 60 years old who mm-hmm. have been around and have
40s
seen.
40s are elders.
I mean, I'm 30. So let me take that back. Let me take that back, actually.
But you can pass.
I thought I would check you on that one.
Yeah, no, you can check me. Let me take that back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Bringing in some older folks.
Yeah.
But you're only bringing them in for knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, not experience. Experience
and also
and
role
knowledge.
Modeling, too.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. People who have been active in the community, who are doing things like, you know, going and helping to feed the homeless, you
sure.
know, going and being active in the schools and things like that. You know, I think that what's really, really important, especially in this political moment, is people. The images that people see and hear about of Black folks are very negative,
right. mm-hmm.
super negative,
right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right.
saying? And I think
yeah.
that, again, the onus is on us to, like, you know, that's not us.
Well,
you
and
know?
I think part two is some of the images that we see of Black folks is that people who we perceive as having, who have been successful
mm-hmm.
and who have been role models are oftentimes being cut down.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it very difficult for a young person today to understand the dynamics of what's taking place. Because again, to them, you know, they view them as being successful, but then somebody comes behind them and say, no, they're not successful. In fact, they're low IQers and, mm-hmm. you know, just some of the rhetoric that we keep hearing,
right.
you know, today. And so I think the program is very valuable mm-hmm. and that it's reminding them to block out that white noise. So
mm-hmm. yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think the mentorship piece too is important because it, you know, tells it, people have their own story. And like, I think it's important for you to see that people can come from all kinds of backgrounds
sure.
and be successful.
Sure.
You
sure,
know,
sure.
like I graduated high school barely,
mm-hmm.
just barely. I never went to college. I spent 10 years in the food service industry
uh-huh.
and like, I'm an organizer now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah.
people can come from all kinds of backgrounds
right.
and, like, be successful. So I think it's important for folks to get that
okay.
through Emoja.
Do you have any upcoming activities?
For Emoja?
Yes. Or yeah. for your youth group or any activities youth can be involved with.
Yeah, actually. So Emoja's graduation is actually this Friday, which will be full of tears and all of those things. But I think that for youth to be on the lookout because of us partnering with all these different organizations, we're going to start doing like monthly events.
Oh,
not
okay.
only just for the youth in Emoja, but kind of opening up the space for other youth as well. So I would tell folks just keep their eyes open for the Enlace page, and there'll be some stuff on there about, I know for sure we're going to have like a big trans day of remembrance event. We're also going to be doing a family feast coming around the holidays, as well as having like a youth Halloween party, because a lot of these Halloween parties get kind of, you know, like, you know, but yeah, we're going to have several events coming up in the next month that are going to be free and open to youth. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So family feasts,
mm-hmm.
give me an idea of what that involves.
Yeah. So basically that's an event that Sankofa Collective does around the holidays, because for a lot of like LGBTQ folks like myself, the holidays can be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of us can't connect with like our families,
sure.
our blood families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use that time to connect with folks in our family, our chosen family and community.
Okay.
And so it's a space for like allies to come together. We get a bunch of food and play some games and just
okay.
like be in community and talk to each other and like love on each other. So
okay. Mm-hmm. Well, sweet.
Yeah.
So you have graduation coming up?
Mm-hmm. Yep. This Friday, we are going to be at over by, I think it's the Reflections Bookstore. Y'all remember Reflections?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be in that same space.
Okay.
So right off of MOK, and that's going to be food, some drinks, and just basically celebrating the fact that these young folks are got these skills now, and we're going to be, you know, mentoring them and carrying them through and
sure.
showing them how to, like, use them in the community, and hopefully changing some things. I think one of the most exciting things that I heard from the conversations of the youth in the space is they started talking about some of the things that were going down in school that have been just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got some things to kind of take back and maybe start making some change within the schools. And like,
is there something that's happened tomorrow? National...
Oh, yes. So tomorrow there is an event, the Night Out for Safety and Liberation. That is going to be at Alberta Park between 4 and 8 p.m. It's just going to be basically a space where we come together to reimagine what safety is and what safety can look like, you know, especially with all this white supremacist Nazi stuff
right.
going on. You know, we need spaces where we can actually feel safe and be in community together.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you give our listeners your address, your email address for Enlace again?
Yep. My email is babatunde@enlaceintl.org if you'd like to reach out any information about anything you heard tonight.
Okay. Sister Audrey, do you have any announcements?
Well, yes. The Coalition of Black Trade Unions meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employee William Lucy Building, located at 6025 East Burnside, Portland, Oregon. And our next meeting will be August the 14th at 6 p.m. And you can contact us. Our email address is orcbtu10@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Come and join us in involving adventure and representing Black union workers.
Well, it's the witching hour, and again, I'd like to thank our listeners, and I'd like to thank our guest, Babatunde,
awesome.
For
thank
coming
y'all.
On to tell us about the significance of the Umoja program. So once again, holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Hi, this is John Shuck. On the next Beloved Community, I welcome Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman and candidate for president. She speaks candidly about 9/11, the deep state, COINTELPRO, the Russians, the media, Israel, and more. Beloved Community, August 10th, Friday, 9 a.m. on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is volunteer-powered. We have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, operating soundboards, engineering and computer help, website upkeep, and many, many other things. To become a KBOO volunteer, come to our next monthly volunteer orientation on Tuesday, August 7th at 6 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/volunteer.
Thank you.